Recently, I was talking with my sister, who is a retired school teacher, and she was telling me an interesting story about middle schoolers who were engaged in some history projects. And she said that from time to time, she would talk with them about historical events in American history, and they were not able to tell the difference between an historical event and a fictional story. They had been so used to fictional stories that they could not distinguish fiction from fact or fiction from history. And they thought, for example, like Washington crossing the Delaware was the same thing as Harry Potter flying around on a broom. And she was serious about it. They just do not know the difference. They've been around fantasy and fiction for so long, in video games, in movies, in stories, and in books, that they cannot distinguish fact from fiction. And they kept describing events in American history as fiction, things that were stories that people made up. And it got me to thinking about how sad that really is, that people do not know the difference between the two. And it really doesn't matter the difference between the two. I want to talk this evening, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. I want to talk about the certainty of the Christian's faith. That our faith is based upon historical truth and accuracy. It is not based upon fiction. It is not based upon a made-up story. And we can be a Christian today based upon the fact of Jesus Christ coming into the earth, dying on the cross for our sins, being buried and raised for our sins, and that we can have a home in heaven because all of what he did was historically true. In Luke chapter 1, we read about a gospel of Jesus by Luke. Luke was a physician. He was a traveling companion of Paul. We know from Colossians 4:14, Philemon 24, 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. He writes two books, Luke and the book of Acts. And just one note here before we go any farther, Luke was a physician. Physicians have to study. Physicians have to learn the body, the makeup of the body, how to heal the body. And even in the first century, where medicine was much more crude than it is today, they had to study that discipline. And so Luke is already a person by nature who wants to be concerned with factual information. You know, we don't want a physician typically operating on us or giving us advice if he or she does not know anything about what they're doing. We wouldn't want to go to a physician like that. If we didn't know anything else about Luke, we would know that just by nature, his background, that he's going to be a man who is careful with what he deals with and what he sees and what he deals with. And we're going to find that that is true to his nature. But Luke writes in Luke chapter 1, I want us to read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He gives us the purpose of why he writes. He writes to this man named Theophilus, and he gives us the purpose, and it's set forth in these first four verses, and we learn a lot of truths that I would like for us to consider this evening about being a Christian. It's not based upon fiction. It's not based upon a fairy tale or a fantasy. In fact, if it were, then the first thing that we would need to do is just immediately leave this building and go do something more worthwhile. There'd be no need to be here today at all if all of this was completely fiction. It'd be better to be at home doing whatever we could do at home or out at the lake or the golf course or whatever. If this is all a fairy tale, if it's true, then, and it is, and if it's history, and it is, then we need to seriously think about that as well. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, for as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us. The matters are Jesus, the life of Jesus. And there are things that have been going on among them, Jesus and his ministry. People have drawn up narratives about that. Even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Luke is talking about the other apostles, others who have written about Jesus, others who are preaching the word. It seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first. And he's talking about tracing the course of Jesus' life. He's not just talking about any kind of history, Roman history, Jewish history, Greek history. He's talking about Jesus and writing a message about his life. He wanted to trace the course of all things accurately from the first. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. The New American Standard says here in verse 4, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. Look at that statement. I'm going to write to you so that you can know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Theophilus had heard some things about Jesus Christ, and Luke wants to give him the exact truth about those things. Notice that Luke believed that that was important. It was important to have the exact truth. I wonder today if people even are bothered by that one way or the other. Does it really matter if the information that I'm being given is true or not? I wonder if in our postmodern world that we even care about that. Many people, it doesn't matter if what they're being told is a lie or not. We expect it from our politicians. We expect it when we go see movies. We expect that not to be real. Other types of things. And it's almost as if with some people, and this was illustrated with my sister and some of those middle schoolers, everything's a fantasy. And I don't really know the difference between history and what is not real. Luke felt that it was important that Theophilus know the exact truth about these things. And so this evening, I want to talk about how that Christianity is certain, and it's based upon the facts of history. And it's important for us to have the truth, and not just any truth, but the exact truth. That's a good way to put that. The recipient of this book and the book of Acts was Theophilus. His name means lover of God. We don't know anything about him other than Luke 1:3 and Acts 1 and verse 1. We don't know if he became a Christian or not. We would hope that he did. But what we do know and what we want to focus on this evening is we know that Luke wanted him to have the exact truth. That was important. And it's important for us to have a life based upon the exact truth of God's word. I want us to study this evening because we are surrounded by so much fantasy and fairy tale. And I don't think it's wrong to watch a movie or read a book based upon fiction. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we remember its place, that it is indeed fiction. And there's nothing wrong with going to a movie and maybe just watching something that we know is completely not real and maybe getting some mental break from the rest of the world. But we have to, at the end of it, realize that this is not real, and I understand that. There are some things in life that are real, and those are the important things. So there's nothing wrong with having fiction in our life. The problem is when all of it becomes fiction and none of it is real, and we lose the importance of the real. Luke wanted Theophilus to have the exact truth. And so this evening, I want us to consider three important lessons that come from this. First of all, the Christian's faith is not founded on speculation. It's not founded on something that somebody made up. It's not founded upon fantasy or fairy tale. Number two, we're going to learn this evening that we cannot live spiritually on uncertainties. We can't live on something that's based upon just a fairy tale or a fantasy. There's no way that we can live our lives based upon that. And then number three, we have a responsibility regarding this truth that Luke wrote about. We have to do something with it. It's not just something that's in a book. We have to take this and do some things with it. And so this evening, I want us to talk about that very kind of thing. First of all, the Christian's faith is not founded upon speculation and hearsay. Luke and the other apostles, the other New Testament writers, did not record what they thought or supposed might have happened. They recorded the facts of history. And that's what we hold in our hand this evening. When we read about Jesus and Paul and others, we're reading about the very things that happened. This is not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It's not like one of the popular authors of today who are making a lot of money on fantasy. It is actually real and recorded in history. And if we took time this evening, we could even look outside the New Testament where there were historians that talked about Jesus and Paul and others. Let's look at a few passages to remind ourselves, in addition to the scripture reading that Matthew had earlier, about the things that are written so that we can believe. Let's look at a few other passages to remind us that what we're holding in our hands as the Bible is the actual true history of what takes place at this time. Look at John chapter 19 with regard to Jesus as he is standing at the base of the cross with his mother. John chapter 19 and verse 35. And he that hath seen, that's John talking about himself, he that hath seen hath borne witness, and his witness is true. And he knoweth that he saith, true, that you also may believe. What I've seen is true. And then, of course, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Then look at John 21, verse 24 with me. John 21, 24. This is the disciple, again, John talking about himself. This is the disciple that beareth witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. He's talking about himself in the third person. We know that his witness is true. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. You and I don't want to live a life based upon a lie. If this is not true, then Christianity is a lie, and we're living a lie. And we can't live that way. There's no sense in living that way. We need to know the certainty of what we're doing. And in 1 John, and Luke wanted that for Theophilus. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. That's Jesus. He's real. You can't do that with a fictional character. Handle them. You can go and watch it in a movie. You can read it in the book, but they're not real. Jesus is real, and we saw him, we beheld him, we handled him. Verse 2, and the life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you the life, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And these things we write that our joy may be full. He wants to make it very clear at the beginning that Jesus was real. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 18. Peter is talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, and he says, for we did not, we, the apostles, and those who were up on the mount, Peter, James, and John, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Look at that fable. A fable is a fiction. A fable is not what's true. You know, Aesop's fables and other things. There are stories, but they're not true. We didn't follow fables. There are things that aren't true, that are fantasy, that are fiction. We didn't follow that. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's talking about when Jesus was transfigured on top of the mountain. We saw that with our eyes. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's Matthew 17, verse 5. When God came out of heaven and spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And this voice we ourselves heard, born out of heaven when we were with him in the holy mount. Peter wants to make it very clear that this is all based upon truth. Those things and other things in the life of Jesus are true. And Luke wants that for Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth of the things that you've been taught. That's very important to them, and it's important for us today. Our life is not based upon speculation and fantasy. Turn back with me now to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at some of the words that Luke uses as he describes his account of Jesus. And you may have noticed that going through it the first time. Luke chapter 1, look at verses 2, 3, and 4. What were some of the words that Luke used to describe this point of certainty? Well, the first word he uses is in verse 1, which have been fulfilled among us. He's talking about the life of Jesus. The Greek word there is not so much like an Old Testament prophecy that has now been fulfilled. We use that, understand that word a lot. This Greek word means fully established. That which has been carried out in its fullest measure. To bring in full measure or to be fully carried out. In other words, what Jesus did was not done in a corner. It was not done in a back alley somewhere. It was not done where very few people knew about it. It was complete and out in the open. So he's talking about something that has been fully established among us. There's no question or argument among anybody as to whether or not these things happened. You could ask Jews, they would say it happened. You could ask Romans, you could ask Greeks, you could ask the apostles. Everybody would say these things happened. It wasn't just something that happened and then the apostles sort of made up a fake story about it. Some of Jesus' followers, anybody could tell you this happened. It was just out in the open. The second word that Luke uses is the word eyewitnesses. Even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. There are other religions, Islam and other religions, Mormonism, that are based upon things, and you just have to take the person's word for it. There were no eyewitnesses. There were no eyewitnesses to Joseph Smith who said that he talked to an angel. There weren't any eyewitnesses. There were no eyewitnesses to Muhammad who said he got a vision from Gabriel, the angel. There's no proof of that. There's no eyewitness. It's just a man claiming something. Christianity's different. It's a man claiming something and then eyewitnesses backing that up in addition to miraculous things backing that up. That's why we're a Christian and not something else. We can't live a life based upon a lie or a fairy tale or a fantasy. And so our life is based upon history, what is true. But look at the word that he uses here, and this would be especially important to a doctor. He uses the word autoptes, which is, we get our word autopsy from this word. And Luke would have probably done autopsies in his life, being a doctor. It literally means to see with one's own eyes, to bend over the body, the dead body, and peer into it and look at it closely to see the cause of death. We get the English word autopsy from this. Literally, auto, self, and optes, to see with one's own self or one's own eyes. We're not going to take somebody else's word for it. And that's why we have an autopsy. You ever thought about that? Why have autopsies? Why do that? You know, why have a county morgue and go through all of that? Well, when somebody says this is how somebody died, we can't just take their word for it. We need a specialist to look over the body and guarantee that that was the cause of death, because it could have been another cause of death and there could be some sort of malpractice involved or some harm involved. And so we'll do an autopsy to have an expert look at this. If somebody says, well, I think the person was strangled to death, and the autopsy does not reveal that, there were no marks around the throat or anything like that, the cause of death was something else. That's why we do that. For there to be an independent verification of things. Now, we don't do that on every death, but when there is a death where we believe that there might be a problem or foul play or something involved, there will always be an autopsy. Why? Because we want an expert to look at that with his own eyes and verify some things. And so it is a word that means I was there and I saw this. It's used only here in the New Testament. Here is a third word that is used. Verse 3, it seemed good also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first. Having traced. This word, parakaleutheo, means to follow up. It is used of investigating or tracing a course of events. I'm going to follow up and check this out. We talk about an investigative reporter or investigative reporting. Someone is going to follow up and verify the facts of these things. It's just one word after another that says this is the importance of finding out the truth of these matters, because an entire person's life is based upon this. We call it being a Christian. If it's not true, then we just don't need to do it. If it's true, we need to believe it and obey it. So, to follow up and investigate carefully. Well, Luke would have had the ability, being a doctor, he would have gone to school, he would have had the ability to memorize things and look at facts and study things and analyze things. Even doctors in those days would have to learn about the body and all of that. So he had the mental ability to do that. And that's what he wanted to do. And then look at the word accurately. Having traced all things accurately. This is just the word that means accurate. This is not going to be some sloppy, thrown together story that has a mixture of truth and error. This is not going to be something where I rush to press and put out this thing called the Gospel of Luke, but I didn't check anything out. There's 24 chapters, and there's probably some stuff in there that might not quite be right, but we're going to get it out to press, and hopefully some folks will read it and follow it. No, it wasn't like that at all. I'm going to carefully, accurately point out these things and make sure that everything is right and true. And so our life as a Christian, and he did not want the life of Theophilus to be that which is not based upon truth. And then look at the word, just the simple word, know. Having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed. There are different Greek words for know. We just have one English word for know, but the Greeks had different words for know. And they used this one, epignosko, to mean to observe, to fully perceive, to notice attentively, to discern, to recognize. This is the word that means you stop and study something. You stop and analyze something. You don't just have a passing glance at something. You really want to observe and perceive and know what is going on. And then, Luke says, the certainty of the things. This word, asphaleia, means not liable to fall. It's firm. Luke has a firm case, in other words. There's no fault in it. There's no inaccuracies in it. It is a firm, safe body of truth. Everything has been checked out. And so look at all of these different words, one after another, just in the first few short verses, letting us know that it is important to have the historical accuracy of being a Christian. Luke writes with accuracy. His record of history and geography and first century practices are all accurate, and more importantly, his record of Jesus. And so when Luke tells us about the things that Jesus did, that is actually history. And I think about our young people who my sister was talking about in a class project, and they're thinking that Washington crossing the Delaware is fiction, or that some of those revolutionary wars were just made up. That just boggles my mind. We have to know the difference between fact and fiction. This is fact. And our lives as a Christian are based upon that. The Christian's faith is based upon the historical Jesus and all that he taught and did. And it's an historical record that is based upon eyewitness testimony. It's based upon facts. And the interesting thing about this is these men who claim to be eyewitnesses, they had no personal gain from this. The only thing that they faced was death. They wouldn't have made up a fake story just to go to their own death. And so we find, like, Stephen, for example, going to his death. We find James, for example, in Acts chapter 12, going to his own death, believing what? A lie? A fake? A fantasy? No, the truth. And so the first point that we make this evening is that our faith as a Christian is not based upon speculation. The historical Jesus has a personal bearing on each one of us. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 in the matter of Peter and John preaching in Jerusalem right after the day of Pentecost. We find that there is an appeal to the historical Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. This all took place, and you know that these things are true. Look at Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 13, Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate when he had determined to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You saw him put to death. We saw him raised from the dead. We're preaching that to you. It's all based upon facts. Now, some of them believed and obeyed, some didn't, right? When we read in the book of Acts, we find that some believed, others disbelieved. But the bottom line was, it's all based upon the truth. Some people don't want the truth. Now, what about Theophilus? We don't know. We don't know if he ever obeyed or not. We would hope that he did. But the question this evening is, what about us? Do we accept that testimony and that evidence? Our life as a Christian is based upon truth. In other words, our faith is not just some leap in the dark where we kind of hope at the end of life that it's all true. It is true. It's based upon reliable evidence. Now, the second point. Look at Luke chapter 1. The first point that Luke makes is that this is based upon truth. The second point that Luke wants to make with regard to this is that verse 4, you might know the certainty concerning the things wherein you were instructed. Our life cannot be based upon uncertainties. We cannot live on uncertainties. And we don't do that in other areas of our life, and we don't want to do that as a Christian. There is no doubt at all concerning the truthfulness of anything related to the life of Jesus from beginning to end. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Do you remember what James says about people who are doubtful? James chapter 1. If we don't know if these things are true or not, then our life is one big doubt. And when we're doubtful, we cannot have our feet planted firmly on the ground, and we're just tossed around. James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by wind and tossed. We cannot have any stability in life if this whole thing is based upon a doubt. I really don't know if Jesus lived. I really don't know if he died for my sins. I really don't know if he was raised, and I really don't know if he ascended back into heaven. If we're doubtful about those kinds of things, we're like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. We just cannot have any certainty in life. And then let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Look at it. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We just cannot have any life like that. And so we cannot live spiritually on uncertainties. We cannot live a life where we're just driven around like the waters of the sea. We have to be certain. And Luke wanted Theophilus to be certain. He wants us to be certain. Note again the phrase in the New American Standard, to write it out for you in consecutive order. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 3, it seemed good to me, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first. The New American Standard says, to write it out for you in consecutive order. in Luke's gospel, we have a logical and chronological arrangement of the life of Jesus, all based upon careful tracing of history from his birth all the way to the time in Acts chapter 1 when he goes back into heaven. And he wanted to write it out for Theophilus in consecutive order. We're not going to jumble things around. We're not going to make things up. We're not going to add to the story. We're not going to embellish the story in any kind of way. We're not going to take any kind of journalistic liberties or anything like that. It's going to be clearly what happened. And all of that's important. And he sets that forth at the beginning. And it should be important for us because there are a lot of people today that are tearing down the Christian faith. There are books that are being written where the Bible is not true, and young people in the university level, they're being told that there is no God and the Bible's not true, and we're seeing more and more of that in our nation. We have to be certain, our young people and all of us, we have to be certain about these things. We must know what we believe. We must know why we believe it. Because some people are saying that we cannot know for certain concerning these things. I'm hearing more and more people, and there have been some even in churches of Christ. I have some quotes if you're interested, and I can provide that for you, where some in churches of Christ have said, we cannot know all truth. We cannot know if we have all the truth. We can't tell other religions that we have the truth. And so they say we need to be open-minded. Well, all that leads to is just being open-ended. In other words, anything goes in the name of religion. So it does have a practical bearing on our life today. Now, we may not be surrounded by people like this, but there are many people like that. And we have to be prepared to say, no, we know truth. We are certain about what we believe with regard to Jesus Christ. God wants us to know. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That includes Theophilus and everybody else. He wants us to know the truth. And so he's given men who are eyewitnesses to these things to write out carefully these kinds of things. We can know the truth. Our life is not based upon uncertainties. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's look at a few things regarding the Apostle Paul and what he wrote. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul prayed for the Philippian brethren, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. "In the world bearing fruit, increasing since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Verse 9, "that you would increase, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." We can know. We can understand. Many other passages from the pen of Paul. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. The Hebrew writer says, "If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth." Obviously, we can know. We can know what is true. And we've already looked at 2 Peter chapter 1 with regard to Paul saying we did not follow cunningly devised fables. And there are other things that he says there. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. "In the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ." The knowledge of Him that called us, verse 3. Verse 8, "to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 5, "we are to grow in knowledge." The things that we're reading in God's Word, we can know. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, there were those who became Christians. And the way they did that was through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can know truth. Knowledge or truth comes from the Word of God. and we can know those things. So, number one, our faith is not founded upon speculation. Number two, our life is not based upon uncertainties. We can know what is the truth. In fact, God does not want us to act without truth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Do you remember Paul was bothered by his own Jewish brethren? They were very zealous. Many of them were very zealous for serving God. But he says, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It was not based upon the truth of the gospel. There are some religious people today that pride themselves in their zeal, and they're always outdoing this and always outdoing that. The problem is it's not based upon the truth of the New Testament. God wants both. I think sometimes in the denominational world, the problem is zeal without knowledge. But the problem in the Lord's church is knowledge without zeal. We have the truth, we know the truth, but are we zealous to get out there and talk with others about it? It takes both. And so we have to know. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me there. It's not just a matter of being excited. It's about that excitement being based upon the truth of God's Word. When we correct others, 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness correcting them that oppose themselves, if peradventure God would give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover them out of the snare of the devil. How do you get out of the snare of the devil? The knowledge of the truth. And Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 7 that some are learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Not because God has made it hard to find, but because they don't want it. So we need to know. And we need to be certain of what we know. And then last of all, a third point is that there is a responsibility toward this truth. What was Theophilus supposed to do with all of this? He was supposed to believe it and obey it. Luke wrote his gospel because he did not want Theophilus to accept something blindly or accept something that was not true. Do you remember the word fables that we read earlier? You can read in 1 and 2 Timothy about fables. They had their false teachings, just like we do today. They have their fictional stories in the first century, just like we have fictional stories today. And so Paul wants them, and Luke and others, wants them to distinguish between truth and a fable. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. But refuse profane, that's blasphemous, empty, and old wives' fables. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul tells Timothy to preach the word because the time will come when they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside unto fables. They had their fantasy and their fiction in the first century just like we do today. Maybe it had to do with Roman gods and Greek gods and things like that. Whatever it was fiction. And Paul said to stay away from that kind of thing. And we need to remember that even today. There's a difference between the two. Look at Titus chapter 1. In verse 14, it's interesting that Paul has the word fables is used mostly with Paul when he's writing to Timothy and Titus. Titus 1:14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. So the Jews had their fictional stories. Who knows? Maybe it had to do with intertestamental events, heroes of the intertestamental period, stories that weren't true. So we have to, like I said earlier, there might be a time and a place for that. If we go into a theater or if we pick up a book or if we're watching a movie and we say to ourselves, I know this is not real and it's just a period of entertainment, that's one thing. But we have to know the difference between there are a lot of things in life that just aren't true and there is the truth of God's Word. And the reason Luke writes the way he does is he wants Theophilus to know the difference. Don't accept something as truth without investigating it thoroughly. And that's really what Luke is saying. And if there's something that is important in our life, that would be Christianity. I cannot think of anything more important than that. You know, there are things in life that if we do something and we didn't have all the truth, it's not a big deal. Like if we were buying something or... But our Christianity, that's the most important thing. We need to investigate it thoroughly. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me in verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings, what things befell me, and so forth. Paul was careful about his life. He wanted Timothy to be careful about following the teaching, the conduct, the purpose, the faith, and so forth. It's all based upon truth. Being careful about what we hear would include denominational teaching, but also from and within the church, myself, from this pulpit, in anywhere. We always seek for truth. We always go to our Bible to find that. We have a responsibility. We must verify our faith. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be accurate in our living. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, if you'll turn with me there, Ephesians 5, 15, look carefully how you walk. As a Christian, we have to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise. I don't care what's being said and done. I just live each day sort of at the moment. But as wise, we have to carefully walk. Just like if you were to go outside, you want to get something outside at night and the light's not shining, you're careful how you walk. You don't want to stumble over something. You don't want to trip. You're careful. Or if you're going through the house at night and there's not a lot of light there, you're careful how you walk. We need to be careful how we walk as a Christian to walk wisely. I want to base my steps upon the truth of God's Word. I want to be accurate in my living. I'm not just going to accept something that I've heard in the past. And then we must defend the truth from attack. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we must be ready to give an answer concerning the hope that is within us. What did Luke want Theophilus to do with this material? Just read it and then say, that was a neat story, and put it down? Or do something with it? And we put it into practice in our life and we defend it. And then we need to share it with others. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. This truth that Luke wrote about is not just for us. We need to share it with others. We need to be doing what we can to talk with others about the Word of God. And this is very important. We have a gospel meeting coming up. The least thing we can do is invite people. We can try to set up a Bible study. We can pass out a bulletin. We can do what we can to talk with others. This truth is not just for Theophilus. It's for all mankind. And so what are we going to do with it when we get done reading it? Well, first of all, we're going to apply it in our own lives, and then we're going to share it with others. Look at verse 7, Ephesians 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. He's talking about the gospel, this truth that we've been talking about. According to the gift of that grace which was given to me. It's a gift, and we need to give that to others. According to the working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints was this grace given to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, we all have different responsibilities in that. Some have a responsibility to do that in different ways, but we can all in some way talk with others about this truth that we have in our hands. Well, this evening, Luke wrote so that Theophilus could know the exact truth of what he was being told. We have a faith that is built upon a firm foundation. And we're in a modern world of change, and many people are tearing down God and His Word. We have a faith that is built upon truth, eyewitness testimony. And number two, we're not going to live a life of uncertainty and doubt. We are certain about what we believe. We're not going to let the devil take advantage of this idea of doubt. Is there really a God? Is there really a Bible? Is there really a heaven and hell and the judgment day? And he's getting a lot of people to doubt that kind of thing. And so they don't want to be religious. Look on any given Sunday here in Springfield, anywhere else, so many people just doing so many other things. They have no cares in the world. They're not interested in God coming to services. They're down here at the parking lot with the cars, you know, looking at the nice cars, down, you know, the drive-in down here, and all kinds of going to the lake and things like that. And if you were to talk with them, they would say, well, you know, I don't know if there's a God. I don't know if the Bible's the Word of God. And the devil's very taking advantage of a lot of people that way. But we know the certainty of the truth of these things. That's why we're trying to live differently. This is not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fiction. It is truth. And then we have responsibilities toward truth to apply it in our lives, to stand up for it and defend it, and then to share it with others. And like Paul said, tell others about the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a great thing that we have in Luke's preface. All of that accuracy. You know, I think today accuracy is probably not a big deal with a lot of folks. We see this sometimes with businesses and merchants and things like that. People are not being accurate and precise about things. They just sort of slap something together or just halfway go through the motions on something and, you know, give me a paycheck. That's not the way this is. This is not just some half measure, some thrown together piece of literature that's full of part truth and part error. It is a careful, accurate detail so that we can know about Jesus Christ and follow him and believe him and follow his example in our life. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to that truthful message. There may be someone that needs to come and let your needs be made known. You want to be right with that truthful message. But let us go out this evening with a renewed strength and zeal and courage, knowing that what we believe is based upon the truth of God's Word. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?